Welcome to the Retired Excited Podcast. Retired Excited, the show where we give retired and want-to-be-retired folk a look at how great retired life can be. Here we talk to men and women who are happily retired and loving their life. Together, we will delve into what retired happiness really looks like and how anyone can achieve it.
Here is your host, Henry Shapiro.
Hey folks, Henry here at Retired Excited, the show providing inspiration for people who are nearly retired, newly retired, or say they're never going to retire. Here we talk to retired people doing things that make them happy. Things from stamp collecting to cruising, from dancing to touring the world on a motorbike. We talk to everyday retired people who are living the life they want, and we talk to a few professionals to get expert advice. And I chip in with some of my own experiences. Hi there, folks. It's Henry here again with episode number 25 of Retired Excited. Lots of people have a passion in life, might have hobbies, various things that they're interested in, but not many people carry that passion for 50 and more years. David Mickle, he's not young. I reckon he's probably in his mid to late 80s. And for 50 years, he's been pursuing his love of steam and steam engines. It all started when he was younger. He was a volunteer on the Puffing Billy. For those of you who don't know, Puffing Billy is a little train that runs up through the mountains in the Dandenong Ranges, and now it carries tourists and kids on picnic trips. In the early days, it was purely a utilitarian train, and when the track was damaged by a landslide, the railways decided no, they were no longer going to maintain it, and volunteers took over the maintenance of the train and the tracks. And David was one of those volunteers, and that's where his love of steam commenced. So here we're going to learn about his life, his long life, his involvement with the Melbourne Steam Traction Engine Club. He was one of the first members there, and you'll see on the website a certificate they gave him for 50 years of membership. You'll also see on the website some photos of some of the monster steam traction engines, steam rollers, tractors, and so on that members of the club own. Those engines, they hark back to a simpler time, I think. Or at least that's the way we feel they do, to a simpler, slower way of life. And they've got a certain appeal, an appeal which goes beyond their utilitarian purpose. And it seems to grab you right in the heart. I don't know whether it's the size, the noise, the gush of steam coming out of them every now and then, or the smell of the coal as they're plodding along. Anyhow, Dave will tell us all about that. So let's listen to his story. So good morning, David. How are you today?
Very good. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Bright sunshine around.
That's good. David, the purpose of the show is to talk about what people are doing after retirement.
Yeah.
But can I just ask you, what were you doing before you retired?
I worked with an electrical company and with an electrician, in other words, yeah.
Yeah. As you were coming up to retirement, were you looking forward to it?
Oh, yes, because of my hobby, I would be able to put more time to it, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And when you actually retired, what happened? Did you get to be 65, or how did that work?
I probably retired when I was about around 70.
All right.
Yeah.
Did you choose the time when you retired, or did they say, all right, now it's enough?
No,
or?
Well, I just said I thought 70 was enough.
Enough.
And
yes.
My knees were starting to play up.
Yeah, so you've got crook knees now, haven't you?
Yeah, that's right.
Makes it hard to work. So, all right, then you retired. When you retired, or just before you retired, what did you think you were going to be doing after you retired? What were you looking forward to?
Oh, well, completing, working on some of the machines and the hobby that I had.
All right.
Work on that, yeah.
So, fantastic. Tell us about the hobby.
Well, I had a bit of an early Renault car enthusiast.
Yes.
The early ones like the R4s and the 750 Beetles.
Mm-hmm.
And those sort of things. So I had collected a few of those ready to do up and drive around. Earlier on, I've been into the steam engines via Puffer Billy, the volunteer there, the opening of the railway onto Jim Brooke and that sort of thing.
All right.
Just how the younger days.
This podcast goes to lots of people all around the world can listen to this. So can you explain to them what Puffing Billy is?
Puffing Billy is a voluntary railway group society which operates a narrow gauge train from Belgrave to Jembrook. Mm-hmm. It was completed in sections with the help of people from the railways, retired foremen who used to help volunteers tell them what to do, and they did it.
Right.
And we've shown this sort of section of the old railway track that went up in the Dandenong Ranges here.
And just to explain to folks, it's not a huge engine, is it? It's a fairly small engine, is it?
No, they're small engines. They're narrow gauge engines. They're half the size of an ordinary steam engine.
Right.
And they run on a 2'6" gauge.
Yeah.
Therefore, and they have narrow gauge carriages, 30-foot long sort of thing, with the open sides.
It's set up now as a tourist thing, isn't it? It's kids get on it and grown-ups get on it and they go...
Oh, yeah, grown-ups get on it and everyone, families take trips.
Yeah.
It runs all... Nowadays, it runs every day of the week now.
Terrific.
Certain times, yeah.
How long is it, do you remember? I've been on it. It must take maybe 30 minutes to go from one end to the
other. Yeah, it'll take at least 30 minutes and possibly at least 25 to 30 miles.
Yeah, I know... I've taken my grandchildren on it, and they love it. The kids are hanging out the side.
That's right, they hang out the side and that sort of thing.
Nice
and,
sunny day, it's terrific. And so you were involved with Puffing Billy. What was your involvement? What did you do?
I was just a volunteer labourer,
right.
That sort of thing. But, of course, nowadays it's got very commercial now.
Yeah.
And as time went on, I ran out of time, and I started doing my own things, and they now operate as a sort of a voluntary business.
Right.
Like most narrow gauge societies in Europe and everywhere else.
Okay. And you got involved and really interested
that's
in
steam? That's where I got involved
steam?
In steam trains and things, because it's naturally steam.
It's a steam locomotive, isn't it?
Yeah.
And there's a couple of them, I think, or maybe more.
They have at least about 4 to 5 local engines now that they've restored, including a very big one, which is called a Garrett type.
Okay.
And I was, when I was working, volunteering there, I was out on the track and we used to re-sleep in the track.
Yes.
Because it had been overgrown, because the line got closed down because of a landslide. And of course the railways themselves didn't want to keep it running because it was not the right gauge, and a group of people formed a club and they went as volunteers to get it open again.
So then from there you moved on, and I've got a picture in front of
you. From there I moved on to, I joined a traction engine society that has steam rollers, traction engines and portables, and I went able to get onto a remains of a steam truck, a wagon, and which over a period of time a friend of mine, we got it together and rebuilt it, and got it on the road again.
Where did you find it?
I found it over in South Australia, in Adelaide,
Brixton. Right, but seeing somebody's was somebody selling it, or was it?
Well, the person I'd known person for a while, and he's going to restore it, but he was reasonably elderly, and his health wasn't any getting worse. So I was the first offer to have opportunity to purchase it and bring it back to Victoria.
All right. So can you tell us a little bit about it? What make is it? And
it's an English make, made by the Yorkshire Steam Wagon Company. Has a vertical horizontal boiler in the front. Has Ackerman steering with a steering wheel, of course, and it has a gearbox, which is very unusual for steam wagons to have a gearbox. But it's the old type where you have to stop to change gears.
Oh,
okay. There's nothing automatic about it. It's all manual. If you want to do it on the run, you have to judge the speed of the engine and moving the lever.
Right. What year would this have been built?
It's built in 1924. Came out to Australia. I haven't been able to get too much history on it, But far as I knew, it belonged to a scrap dealer merchant who used to use it to cart pickup.
Yeah, scrap metals and bits and pieces. What load would it carry, do you know?
It's supposed to carry 10 tonne and weighs about 8.5 tonne overall. Yeah.
So if it was in not in good condition, you had to restore it?
Well, it wasn't in working order. It had been let go. We had to rebuild the tray on it, put a tray on it, and we had to do repairs to the chassis, which was bent because it was over. It had been overloaded, and we couldn't get the original tyres that had been lost, which would have been solid wheels. So we had to change it over to pneumatic tyres, and it has a 3-speed gearbox. I did a course to get a licence to operate it and understand the principles of steam and how the boiler works and how you fire it and all that.
You were saying you need to have a course. You do a course.
Yeah, do a course to get a licence to drive it.
And who provides that course? Or who?
That course is provided by the technical schools, which were the RMIT in Melbourne.
I went to RMIT.
Yeah, everyone used to go there. Whether it be every apprentice, whether you're a plumber or whatever.
It was for folks who don't know, it used to be called the Royal Melbourne Institute of Technology.
That's right.
RMIT.
Yeah.
So within the club that you were part of now, what sort of vehicles have they got? What have the other people got?
The other members, of which we have over 100 members. It started off with about 4 members. The club formed because there was an advertisement in the paper where a reporter had seen a bloke with a steam engine in his backyard, and it started from that information that got into the paper. People rang up this person and we formed a group and we started off there.
Yeah.
And later on, it got that big that we used to meet in people's homes. We formed a group and had our own meeting hall and that sort of thing. And then later on, we got a parcel of land to set up an active working group.
Just a couple of things about the hobby or activity itself. What is it about it that you like? Why do you like mucking around with a steam engine?
I think you must put it back. You've got to be interested in steam engines or trains, which is a thing of the past nowadays. They only operate now as tourist trains now.
Yeah. And why do you like it? What is it about it?
Well, the thing is, with the society, the railway societies that are there, about 3 of them, they do tours a weekend onto various lines that are not normally passenger services.
I see. Yeah.
And they hire the train and advertise tours.
Are you able to go on those yourself?
Yes.
Yeah. You like doing that?
I am. Well, I like doing that, but now I find I'm quite busy and the lines are not so many available to go on because of the change of the railways operations.
Within the club itself, what sort of people are in the club? Are they mostly...
They are professional people as well as ordinary working people or families. Even families come along and they have open days of a weekend where they can come, people can come in for rides. We've got a section who operate a model like a locomotive, a very small 10-inch gauge, and they take rides around the property there.
What's the name of the club or the name of the group?
Melbourne is called the Melbourne Steam Traction Engine Society.
Melbourne Steam Traction Engine Society.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
No doubt they've got a website. I'll look that up and see.
Yes, they've definitely got a website. They now have just, in the last year or so, they were donated a big drag line, 110-ton drag line.
Golly.
Which they now got working again. That was donated by the SEC and Electricity Commission at Moore. It was transported down here. And set up, and we've got people who are mechanically minded and into diesel engines and that sort of thing. They got it going, and at rally times, we move it around the the yard.
Now, I've been to one of these rallies, and the people there are pretty fanatical. You know,
they are, yeah, like, there are people there that might say go a bit overboard.
Yes.
But that's their hobby. It's just like a person who hits a ball from one end of the paddock to the other, to me, and then you got to go and catch it, follow it. So to me, that's a bit unusual.
The rally I was at, there were some amazing machines, and they look very valuable.
Most of the machines, when they're completely restored, are very valuable, and they're in great demand by people who find out that they're available for sale or whatever, but they are valuable.
What sort of money would they be worth, do you know?
They could be worth $50,000 to $100,000.
But I think the people who are involved, they're not doing it for the money, they just enjoy
it. No, they're not doing it for money, and very rarely do they sell them unless they're due to health problems where they can't manage them.
Is it something you would encourage people to get involved in?
Well, yes, I would. Even if you can't own one, there's still plenty of things to do with them. The clubs are always after volunteer people to operate them or drive them, as you might say.
Yes.
So if you're interested in mechanical things, certainly the club to join.
And something I always ask people, maybe nothing to do with steam or whatever, for people who are going to retire, they're not quite retired, but they're going to retire, what advice would you give them?
I think if you're going to retire, I think you need to have some sort of hobby, whether it's, as I said before, tennis or golf or whatever, or football even.
Yeah.
But to me, some people when they retire reckon that's the end of work. But to me, I think you've still got to keep working to keep fitting your own right, you know.
Yeah. And when you say you've got to have a hobby, why do you need to have a hobby? For what purpose?
Well, this is the carry on from where you used to go to work for 5 days a week as a regular thing. Well, most people, when they retire, they tend to slow down and don't think of work anymore. But I think to keep your body active and your mind active, you've got to think of doing things.
That's fantastic advice. And thank you very much. Thank you for spending the time with me. I'm going to look up the website to find the website for your club.
Yeah.
And thank you very much, David.
That's all right. Been a help.
Well, David was being a little bit blasé about the truck, the steam truck, Yorkshire Steam Wagon, which he and his mate own. I know that he's very, very proud of it. He's put a lot of work into it, both he and his mate. And you heard what they'd done. Everything from straightening the chassis to sourcing new wheels and tyres for the machine. And, of course, putting it back into running order. Now, this hobby is not all about engineering and heavy equipment. There's another side to this hobby as well. And that is proving out the provenance of the various bits of machinery that you own, whether they be steamrollers or tractors. The members are forever delving into the background of their machines. It's a bit like detective work. And if you can find that it was owned by a particular owner or someone in the public eye, then that makes your machine just that little bit more special. Along the way, David talks about the club having been given a drag line. And for those of you who don't know what a drag line is, it's a large excavator which is operated by a cable which is used in mining operations. And they're huge. As he said, this particular one is operated by a diesel engine, and the members of the club have brought it back to life so that it actually works, and they give demonstrations to the public of it. And the club also has a miniature railway, what we'd call a miniature railway, an operating small locomotive with carriages that kids can sit on and be taken for rides around on the property that they own. It's a fascinating hobby, really. It's a hobby that I can see you could very easily become enamoured of, whether it be the smell of the engine, the grease, the noise, whatever it is. And as he said, it can be a whole family thing. The families get down there and everybody gets involved with the operation. If you're a train enthusiast or you're involved in any way with steam engines, I'd love you to leave a comment in the reply box at the bottom of the page and tell us what you think about Dave and about this hobby in general. I'd love to hear from you. You can always contact me directly henry@retiredexcited.com. So once again, that's it for today. Thank you for listening. I very much value your involvement here. So be happy, keep healthy, and I'll see you next week.
I want to get that a go for sure.
Ian Roberts, that's terrific.
That was interesting. What a good idea.